talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Is this a joke?
No, not joking. This is real. Painfully real. What is happening right now?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I have a disease of the saliva disease.
You have herpes? I caught it last time I went on the United Airlines flight here.
Yes, sir.
From the flight attendant.
Yes,
I think his name was Kevin.
Yes.
He gave you it too?
Yes, sir, Kevin. He gives everybody herpes.
Correct.
That's why the service is so good.
Happiness and sunshine and butterflies and flowers.
Damn.
And now.
I've got guns, bullets, lots of bullets. Lots of bullets.
Our feature presentation.
You never want to really hear that. Lots of bullets.
Well,
lots
but
of
you
bullets.
Also don't want to be out of bullets.
That's true.
So but I wanna, could see her side.
I want her to be out of bullets, so.
I
wonder
do, too.
Wonder how Survival Kitty is doing. That was Survival Kitty's owner,
was
if I recall correctly.
I don't think
it was likely that she was going to survive.
Survival Kitty probably is in kitty heaven.
An ill-named kitty.
Yeah. Survival Kitty was said to live on a farm where she has lots of room to run and play.
That's what they tell you when you're a kid, Bean. For God's sakes.
I believe that.
Snap
I thought there was this awesome farm somewhere where all the little animals that disappear
There is. It's
go.
Up above the clouds.
Morning, everybody. It is a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday morning.
Yeah, that's great news. Do you guys ever have a dream where you don't realize it until you wake up, but what's happening in your bedroom is what's affecting the dream? In other words,
yes.
You're dreaming that you're in the snow and you're freezing and you're going to die, and then you wake up and you realize it's because the covers are off or something like that, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, here's a story that's in that vein, and we may have to revisit this story when we do the near-death experiences. I know we're talking about doing that again coming up here soon on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
A guy named John Stites. He's a 26-year-old guy who lives in Minneapolis, and he and a friend are out hiking near Beaver Bay.
Of course.
And they decide to stay over. You know, they build a campsite and stay over, and they wake up the next next morning. And John is having a dream, some sort of a dream where he feels a dog licking his face, and he's pushing the dog away, and the dog keeps licking his face, and he can't get the dog to stop licking his face. And at some point, I guess, John finally wakes up and realizes he's got a bear on top of him.
Oh my God.
Because in reality, when a dog's licking your face, if it's the dog you love, it's sort of a nice, you know, thing.
Yeah, you wake up and
it's
like,
dog's saying hi.
Silly dog.
Yeah, but if you're sleeping and your dog is jumping up on you and licking your
face,
it's
not ideal.
You might not want that.
But then when you open your eyes, you go, wow, where was the dog? I need a dog back.
Yes, I opened my eyes, John says, and there was a bear on top of me with its face in my face. I kind of opened my eyes and gave a what the F.
Can you imagine that bear just sitting there waiting?
Like, for him to...
When this dude wakes up, he is going to have a heart attack.
Why would the bear be waiting for the dude? Why wouldn't the bear take advantage of his prey being asleep and go ahead and start eating?
Well, apparently he just likes the way his face tastes.
I don't think bears, humans are food for bear, are they?
Well, you hear about people getting killed by bears all the time.
Yeah, but isn't it because you're kind of invading their space sort of more than they look at you as food?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on in this bear's head, but he goes over and he starts licking. John admits that the bear was not the biggest he'd ever seen, but described him as hefty, and the bear seems much bigger when he's that close.
Sure.
He and his friend tried to frighten the bear by yelling at it and banging pans with a hatchet, and eventually the bear slowly moved away, looking back ever so often.
I think the bear was in love with him.
Maybe so.
Aww.
But John wakes up with a bear on him and manages to walk away without a scratch. So he has to look at that as a pretty successful day out there in the wilderness, right?
I'd say so.
That's a story you've got to tell for the rest of your life.
Then I opened my eyes and there was a bear on me.
The bear gets bigger and bigger.
Sure. Really doesn't matter. If it's
pretty soon
a bear,
you've got scars you don't want to show them.
If it's a bear on you, that's craziness.
Yeah, that's an insane story.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That's what my car insurance company and the police have been waiting to hear.
Good. I'm glad. Glad to help. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have Henry Rollins, always interesting.
Love him.
He's too smart to be on this show, though.
Would you move into a house where a murder has happened?
Oh, it's so funny. I had a whole debate about this over the weekend.
We had this conversation on Friday as well, and a lot of us are no. A lot of us are an instant yes.
Yep.
Omar is a hell yes.
Omar is a I'll pay more if you let me live in the room where the murder happened.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
That guy was freaking me out, and I'm me.
Yeah, no kidding.
I love death, and Omar scares me.
Some more highlights of Honey Boo Boo in case you missed it. And we also
Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on. What are you talking about?
Honey Boo Boo, by
the
way.
You know, the people love the boo boo.
Honey Boo Boo just had every episode, the ratings are bigger, just had its biggest episode yet, this most recent one.
That's right. It's
apparently popular. She's America's sweetheart.
Or we like to watch them and say, thank God that's not us.
True.
And we have LaQuisha this morning talking about Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Excellent.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Ralph Garman, how was Canada?
Beer mug still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every Monday I come in and go, well, maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the week. Maybe over the weekend somebody came to their
senses. And you see his bright shining face and you go, yes, today's going to be okay.
Oh, really?
He's like the feral cat out in front of the building. You keep thinking he's going to go away or die and he just doesn't.
Well, because Lisa keeps feeding him. That's why. So he keeps showing up. Canada was great. Had a blast. We were sold out up there in Ottawa. About 1,000 people in the theater.
Nice.
And it was one of those rock star moments where he came out and they gave us a big standing O and we had a blast. Very, very funny show. You can check it out today. I think it'll be posted in a couple hours over on Smodcast.com and over on iTunes.
Saw some tweets and some people loved it.
It was a very funny show. We had a real good time. And the people in Canada are just so nice. You get there and everybody, just from the customer service to the cab drivers to the people on the street, they're just a kind, nice nation. It's just a nation of nice people.
Well, you had to get out fast, didn't you?
Yeah, really.
From Philadelphia. It's
starting to bring me down.
It's the opposite.
So what a great event. I thought it was funny because Smith and I were so pumped up after the show. Usually Kevin doesn't like to meet and greet because he just gets deluged with people. It's not that he doesn't like people, it's just he'd be there for hours.
Yeah.
So we kind of snuck out the backstage door and there were people who kind of figured out where that was, so we decided to sign and stuff. So it was very nice people. A lot of people in Canada, believe it or not, listened to the Kevin and Bean podcast and they were talking about that, and one guy came up to me and I signed a Red State DVD cover for him and he said, "Seriously, what's up with Beer Mug?" And I was like, dude, I wish I knew, man. I wish I knew.
Even in Canada.
Even in Canada. Yeah, the legend lives.
How about that?
Yeah, even up there. So, great weekend. Thanks for everybody who came out. If you happen to be listening to the podcast, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. A very soft weekend at the box office. Not a single new film busted the $7 million mark in sales. That means the old films had a chance to make more money, including Expendables 2 topped the list for the second week in a row, making another $13.5 million. That was the number one movie at the box office, $13 million.
It's boom time.
Nobody went.
That's all I know.
The Bourne Legacy made $9.3 million. That made it number two. Paranorman was third. The Campaign came in at number four. And then The Dark Knight Rises with $7.2 million came in at number five. The Odd Life of Timothy Green was six. Premium Rush, because nobody wanted to watch Joe Golev drive a bike around New York City. And its debut just made $6.3 million. 2016, Obama's America, the anti-Obama documentary, and its debut did very well for itself, considering it was only in a couple of theaters, $6.2 million. The Tea Partiers showed up en masse to go see this film. Hope Springs and Hit and Run, running out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. While we're talking about movies, still no reason why film director Tony Scott took his life last week. The LA Times reports that the suicide note that Tony left behind did not make any mention of the reason why he took his own life.
Oh, that's usually what the suicide note is for.
Yeah. Apparently they did not reveal the exact contents, but he did not say why he was ending his own life. Tony was buried, by the way, at a private family funeral here in Los Angeles on Friday. So family doing the best they can to find some closure and put things behind them. But, boy, it's tough when you don't know the answer to that.
It is.
You got to worry about the rest of your life and wonder why Tony did that.
Yep.
And I know that it's difficult to explain depression, but I don't understand how somebody who doesn't have brain cancer, as was a rumor at one point, can do that when you have two small children at home. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that not override whatever depression you feel to go, I'm not going to do that to my kids?
Well, sometimes you feel they're better off.
Yeah, maybe.
And especially if you set them up financially, you think, well, I'm just going to take myself out of the equation. ABC News, by the way, says he still has brain cancer. So
they're still saying
no. I'm just kidding. Over the weekend, another one bit the dust. Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon, died on Saturday at the age of 82.
How dare you with the little kid? Don't you dare.
What? The kids are just excited. That's
kids
all.
Kids are not excited.
They're very excited.
They hate
kids,
NASA.
I know that about
kids
the kids.
Wept all weekend.
People were asking me if we were putting Beat on a suicide watch.
This weekend, Buzz Aldrin was like, yes, I move up one space now.
I'm Buzz, but I'm the only one left.
Yeah, I'm a moonwalker. Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin was like, why does Neil have to do everything first?
Yeah, I wish Buzz had gone first. Yeah, of course, famously, when he stepped on the surface of the moon, he said, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That's right. He had one line, and he effed it up. It was supposed to be, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Instead, he said, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, which is the same thing.
It is the same.
And Neil's a douchebag. So we're
going to give him a pass based on the totality his accomplishment.
He had one line to say. Couldn't get it right.
He's not an actor.
And I think the more important thing is...
No, he's no actor. That's right, because he had one line and he blew it.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, I think, again...
Even you could get one line out, Kevin. You could say one sentence right.
You know that's not true.
You had to say one sentence. That's all.
Yeah. But you're on the moon.
Whatever.
Yeah,
well,
that's the thing. It's a little distracting.
Whatever. Then don't say anything. Don't screw it up, man. You got one shot, one take.
Fly to the moon first before you can say your line. So I think you've got some other things on your
mind. Well, they should have picked somebody who could speak English before they sent him out there.
Wow. How are you coming at the great Neil Armstrong like that?
So glad he's dead. NBCNews.com, by the way, their headline read Saturday, astronaut Neil Young, first man to walk on the moon, dies at the age of 82.
Neil Young?
Yeah.
How about that?
Or Neil Young.
Which makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because they're both named Neil. That's not the part that's wrong. You get that, right, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
He of course, is the musician that we all wish had died, but no.
Yes, that's correct.
Armstrong instead. Congratulations to Snooki. She finally had her baby.
Nine!
Welcome to little baby boy into the world, Lorenzo Dominic LaValle.
In jail by 13?
14?
A representative for Snooki. Snooki has representatives, by the way. Told TMZ.com, the world just got another Guido. Oh, that's great.
Shut up, Snooki.
That's great. After a few diaper changes, they have nicknamed him the Urination. So that's his Guido name, apparently.
Great.
No, I'm just kidding. And Queen Elizabeth isn't the only one who's ticked off at Prince Harry's wild weekend in Las Vegas, where he was playing strip billiards. Turns out his girlfriend isn't too crazy about the new photos either.
Oh.
Well, there's others where that came from.
Back home in the UK, apparently he was dating a 23-year-old model named Cressida Bonus.
What?
Cressida Bonus. And she is not too pleased about the story and the ensuing pictures, so she has called a timeout from their relationship. Word is from friends she was completely gutted after seeing the sexy photos. So
she's a bitch.
Sad news for Cressida.
What she had to say.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Upside for Prince Harry, though, is he's got a career opportunity out of the melee. Steve Hirsch, president of Vivid Entertainment, the porn company, sent him an open letter offering him $10 million to film a porn movie for Vivid entitled The Trouble with Harry. No word on whether he's willing to accept the gig.
$10 million to a guy like Harry, who probably has, I don't know, what does he have? Bean, you're the expert. Hundreds?
I mean, as much money as
how much does England have?
Spend.
Much money as there is.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. As much money as there is, right?
Still $10 million. That's a night out at the clubs in Vegas.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Alexa Vega. Excuse me, Alexa? Alexa? Alexa Vega from Spy Kids, 24 years old today. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad turns 33 years old today. Sarah Chalk celebrates her 36th birthday. Our buddy Tony Kanal of No Doubt is 42 years old. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, turns 43. Bobo of Cypress Hill is 44 years old. And actor Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman. He is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for tuning in on a Monday morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Our old friend Henry Rollins joins us to be all smart in about a half an hour. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. Hard to believe The Simpsons is going into its 24th season next month.
That is crazy.
24 seasons.
Crazy.
No shows, no shows since we've been alive, except for maybe 60 Minutes, has been on for 24 seasons, right? And once again, guest stars are lining up to be on the show. Edward Norton is doing a voice next year. Steve Carell, Zooey Deschanel, Anne Hathaway, Natalie Portman. I mean, who doesn't want to be on The Simpsons? But Kevin, they may have lost a fan in you because they're having Justin Bieber on the show.
Oh. Really?
Justin Bieber tweeted, just did a voiceover for The Simpsons. Hashtag swaggy.
How does he manage to take something as awesome as being on The Simpsons and turn it douchey by calling it swaggy?
Hashtag swaggy.
Let's talk to Mr. Bieber and find out what's going on here. Hi, Justin. Kevin and Bean here.
Hey, I'm swaggy, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not swaggy.
Is it swaggy just because you do it?
That's right. Oh. Whenever I go, I just make it all swaggy.
I see.
Yeah.
So you just did a voice for The Simpsons, basically.
Yeah, I'm a cartoon now.
Well,
I'm a cartoon. I'm a cartoon.
You're not a cartoon.
Yeah, I am. They made me a cartoon.
Well, they drew you into...
My management told me I'm a cartoon, okay?
Right, but what they're saying is that somebody...
Oh, I just stepped on a rake.
No, you're not an actual cartoon.
An anvil fell on my head.
Look, The Simpsons have very talented artists, and they will draw you, and then you just do the voice. But that doesn't make you, in real life, a cartoon, Justin.
Oh, my goodness. I just got an erection. That's not the way I understood it.
Yeah.
I'm going with what I was told.
Well,
I'm a cartoon
you're
now,
a cartoon
eh?
Now.
You're a little dim sometimes.
Oh, I fell down some stairs, eh?
So do you
crazy.
Just have a team of sound effects guys that follow you around wherever you go now?
Yeah, and I just like act it out because I'm like Scooby-Doo, eh?
Right. What was that?
Coffee's ready, I think.
Okay.
The Simpsons episode that airs next year, Justin, and tell me if you can, what the plot line is called The Fabulous Faker Boy. Are you the Faker Boy?
No, it's like Bart has goes to like a talent contest,
mm-hmm.
and I try to get him all like, hey, I'm Justin Bieber, eh? Can I get in the show? They throw my butt out the door, eh?
They should.
And I just landed on the street. I fell in a manhole, eh? Roadrunner just took my gold.
Really?
Yeah. I better run and catch him, eh? I'm going in circles because I'm also confused because I'm a cartoon.
Okay. Listen, you're not a cartoon. You laid down a voice in a studio. For them to animate you.
Oh, my teeth are chattering. I'm scared.
And you're not swaggy. Stop saying you're swaggy.
You're crazy, dude. Oh, my eyes are coming out of my head.
Jeez. Is there any cartoon death in there?
I think so. Oh, that hurt for real.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Just go through your birthdays and let's head on out into the Wild West.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Wow. Let's head out into the Wild West, shall we?
What did I mean? Sunset?
I guess. You tell me what you meant.
No one knows. We don't need help.
No one knows.
We don't need help from you Twitter followers. We don't need that.
We need spotters.
Every time I make a mistake.
Spotters. What, speaking of Twitter, what are you complaining about now, NyQuil? The taste of NyQuil?
NyQuil tastes like Satan's pee. And I think that they could certainly, with the technology that they have today, make it taste better.
Well, NyQuil is delicious. I love NyQuil.
Okay.
It's neither. Here's
All right,
the truth.
Crazy, man.
All right, two lunatics. It's not Satan's pee.
It's
not the most delicious thing ever. Well, it's just medicine, and you just drink it and shut up. It's
but
medicine.
But they could make it taste better.
What do you eat? What do you need your vitamins made into little gummy bears, and you need everything like chocolate and sunshine and candy corn?
But if
just take your medicine and go to bed.
But if they can make it better, why wouldn't they?
Well, it's better. It's better than it is, obviously.
They already flavor it. They already make it cherry and grape and all sorts of orange, all sorts of stuff.
Who thinks it takes... Bean loves it, by the way.
I love it.
Well, that's... insane as well.
I think it's delicious.
It's fine. It's just NyQuil,
it's
and you just
fine.
Take it. It's just medicine, and then you go to bed.
Right, but they could make it better. They don't have to make it
it's
as bad
fine.
As it tastes.
Maybe they can't make it better.
Of course
Maybe
they can.
Maybe this is as better as it gets.
Yeah, I bet they're not saying, geez, how do we make this not taste good? It's probably they did their job, and on top of it, it's just medicine.
All right.
Not everything has to taste like sunshine and lollipops.
Wash it down with some ice cream.
Exactly. Eat a sundae the way you usually do every hour and then just wash it down.
If it could taste like ice cream and lollipops, why not make it taste that way? Why not make it taste good?
I think they're already doing as much as they can with it. I mean, they mask it with very strong flavor.
You're crazy.
When you taste
it, has a slight flavor to it, and then
it's got a very strong flavor.
Very strong flavor.
And then that after. it just hits you and you go, oh my God.
Well, you know it's not candy, right? You know it's medicine. So there's got to be a taste of medicine in there someplace.
Couldn't they make it taste better?
I'm guessing not. I'm saying that's it. They've hit the glass ceiling of taste for NyQuil.
Technology, that's the best we can do.
Yes.
BS.
Sorry, move along.
Not buying it.
Take your medicine. And again, once again, it's medicine. It's not food. You don't have to worry about it so much.
But if you can make it taste good, why not?
I think they did. This is what they got for you. This is NyQuil. This is how it tastes. Please enjoy.
All right.
It's right there on the label. It says that.
How come when I go to the doctor and they give me a shot, it doesn't feel like a massage?
Why doesn't it tickle? Why can't they make a syringe that tickles?
I'm just saying that.
Why does it have to hurt? Why does it have to feel like metal going in my skin?
They
why can't pills be delivered by puppies?
That'd be good, too.
Time for the showbiz beat, I think. Here's Rob.
Heard you guys,
God damn it.
Heard you guys talking to Justin Bieber just moments ago. Apparently, his girlfriend Selena Gomez is looking for a way out.
Yeah, because he's too swaggy for her.
Rumor has it that she is not happy with the person he's become.
None of us are.
This is not the Justin Bieber she fell in love with, according to friends. He is not as nice as he once was. He's very full of himself, she says now.
Really?
He's acting out. He's yelling at his staff. He's using vulgar language. He's being rude to his fans. And Selena says she wants to move on. However, she also says that she has shared intimate secrets of her life and her family's life with him. And she's afraid if they break up that he may release some of that information.
I wouldn't put anything past him at this
hard
point.
Place. She is.
He's just a dick.
He is a dick. But he's swaggy.
Yeah,
can't take that away from him.
Swaggy dick.
He is. Of course, this weekend everybody was mourning the passing of Neil Armstrong, who, although not in show business, this is the showbiz news, was on one of the most watched TV programs of all time.
That's true.
When he went out there and put that flag there in the moon and said, one small step for man.
He's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's good enough, right?
Yeah.
That makes the showbiz beat.
Also passed away this weekend, the Count, Jerry Nelson. The voice and operator of Count Von Count, one of the most popular Muppets in all of Sesame Street, passed away at the age of 78 this weekend.
They didn't work on that name much, did they?
Count Von Count?
Right.
Well, it's like Count Dracula, but he also counts. So
right,
he's Count Von Count.
I get it.
And now Jerry died at the ripe old age of 78. Ah, 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 78! Ah, 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 ah. He also was in Snuffleupagus Suit. Did a lot of voices and a lot of characters for that show. He will be missed. Katy Perry and John Mayer split up last week. I told you that relationship has already fizzled out. But according to Perez Hilton, Katy's got a new boyfriend. She enjoyed a dinner date last week here in Los Angeles.
Is this going to hurt us?
It's going to hurt.
Uh-oh.
Ryan Gosling.
Not Ryan Gosling, no. It's going to be like NyQuil. You're just going to have to swallow it and just take your medicine.
Is it a Mexican guy?
No, it's not a Mexican guy.
Is it a black guy?
No, not a black guy either. Any other guesses before we get into
it?
Robert Pattinson. Twilight's Robert Pattinson.
No.
Enjoying a dinner date with Katy Perry last week.
That's a move up.
No.
Yeah.
That's a major move up. No, no, no.
Good for him, I say.
Sure, but no.
Randy Travis is in trouble with the police again. What are the odds?
100%.
He was arrested for simple assault last Friday morning after getting a fight in a church parking lot. Apparently, a husband and estranged wife were out in the parking lot of church after services one morning in Plano, Texas. And Randy got in the middle of the fight and started fighting with the dude. And the cops showed up and he was arrested. No word on whether he had been drinking the blood of Christ or not, or whether he was sober, but we'll have to wait and see. But he's a mess.
Yeah, he's a
Maybe
mess.
Maybe he was drinking lots of NyQuil, trying to get it to taste good. So I'm feeling all woozy.
Hollywood Reporter says, it looks like we know who our American Idol judges are going to be for the upcoming season.
Thank God.
Mariah Carey's already been signed on. You know, they offered Katy Perry $20 million, and she turned it down.
Wow.
Yeah. Guess she doesn't need $20 million. Mariah Carey? Keith Urban and Nicki Minaj, apparently, are your trio of judges.
Hmm. All right.
Boy, I don't want to see any of those people.
Neither. Unless Mariah Carey's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Nicki Minaj, you got to hear her talk.
Yeah.
It's not good for
she
anybody.
She annoys me. And I don't get much of a... I mean, Keith Urban seems like a real nice guy and everything. I don't get much personality off of him. Like Blake Shelton, he seems like he's a fun dude over there on The Voice. Right, I don't know how Keith Urban's going to be on Idol. I don't know.
They're still trying to see whether Randy Jackson has a place on that panel or not, though. They might do four judges this year and keep Randy around. But, boy, that show's just sinking fast.
Yes, it is.
And LA Weekly came up with an interesting list this week. The 20 worst hipster bands.
20 worst hipster bands.
Yeah, LA Weekly sums it up like this. They're all playing variations of retro garage and soul music or blinging glockenspiels and choirs on incestuous nationwide tours, all while clad in Vincent garb, likely infested with lice. We're not saying that they should be outlawed by, like, Congress or something. It's just that they should be avoided. And then they list the LA Weekly's top 20 worst hipster bands. Here are some highlights for you. Black Keys are 20th on that list.
Oh, how dare they?
MGMT is 16th on the list. Death Cab for Cutie, 15th. White Rabbits, 10th on the list. Airborne Toxic Event was 8th. Grizzly Bear was 5th. Here's your top 5. Bright Eyes, 4th. Arcade Fire, 3rd. Toon Yards, 2nd. And number 1, worst hipster band, according to LA Weekly newspaper, Bon Iver. Bon Iver is your number 1. So, there you go. Yeah, I said it. that's all I got. That's number one right there. Today's celebrity birthdays: Alexa Vega from Spy Kids is 24 years old today. Sarah Chalk from Scrubs and from Roseanne, 36 years old. Aaron Paul celebrates his 33rd birthday. Tony Canal of No Doubt celebrates his 42nd birthday. The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan, is 43. Bobo from Cypress Hill celebrates his 44th birthday. And Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, celebrates his 60th birthday today. If you would see Paul Rubens up close, you would never guess in a million years he's 60 years old.
Yeah.
I had a chance to meet him after his show in Los Angeles a couple years ago, and he still looks like Pee-wee.
He's
still pulling it off. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let's get John Bones Jones to reconsider and have him fight Beer Mug at UFC 151.
What would Beer Mug do in there?
I don't run like a little girl.
Bones Jones would just knock him out of the ring.
Right, but then at least the fight would happen. It wouldn't have been canceled. Beer Mug up there. He gets knocked out, maybe paralyzed, maybe dead. It's a win-win for everybody.
Most likely dead.
It's a paycheck, right? Exactly. A lot of controversy. UFC canceled their first ever fight, and we'll talk to Joe Rogan about that tomorrow at this time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also tomorrow, we're going to have a review of Madden NFL 13 with the editor-in-chief of Game Trailers, Aziz Ansari. Later in the week, who's always hilarious, Adam Carolla, of course. Kamau Bell is going to be joining us. That guy's very, very funny. Dr. Drew on the show. A lot of good stuff coming up this week. Later on this morning, by the way, LaQuisha reviews Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We'll talk about the big Dodgers-Red Sox blockbuster trade as well. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're going to talk to Henry Rollins in a second. He's got a tour plan. This seems like a terrible tour. 50 state, 51 capital city election season tour. So he's going to start September 6th, and he's going to go right through the elections with barely a day off.
Wow.
I was looking at this schedule, and imagine just the travel part of going to all 50 states plus D.C. in 2 months. I mean, it's in exactly 2 months he's doing all of that. He will work, in several cases in this schedule, he'll work 6 nights in a row. He'll do his show.
That seems
bad. Capital to capital to capital.
That seems like a great idea until day, 14, and you're starting to feel a little under the weather, and you go, okay, I only have another, 36 to go or however many.
Yeah, it's grueling. But I guess, once you've toured with Black Flag, I guess you can do anything. I guess he knows from grueling, with some of those punk rock shows that he did for all those years, and of course with the Rollins Band as well. But he's a very smart guy. It's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say about this. We'll get him on the phone here in a second. What? Why are you
It
laughing?
Will be really interesting to hear what he has to say.
Hey, Dave, how's that going?
When we have him on the phone in a second.
They are taking him off another interview. We'll have him in just a minute.
All right.
So, 50 states. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
At least he doesn't have to set up everything.
Thanks for bringing us into sharp focus on that, too, Lisa.
He's going to talk about his recent visits to North Korea, Mongolia,
wow,
Vietnam, India, Tibet, Sudan, Uganda, Haiti, Cuba.
One of the things I'll ask him about, there are a lot of legitimate complaints about the way things are done in the United States, but when you compare it to how most people live in most countries in the world, we've still got it pretty good. Despite our problems, we've still got it pretty darn good here in the United States. That's for sure.
I'm not sure if that's his take, but I can't imagine he would come up to another conclusion based on being in those countries.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting very close now.
It's very exciting. All right, here we go.
September 6th, Honolulu is when it starts. 2 months later, if the man is still alive, it ends at our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. on November the 5th, just ahead of the election. Henry Rollins, welcome back to the Kevin Abine Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good to talk to you. Last time we had you on was a couple months ago talking about your national geo show. Now you're back on the road doing the spoken word. I was wondering, as long as you've been in bands and as long as you've been doing your radio show and your speaking tour, which one draws more tickets on the road these days?
The talking tours, believe it or not, started outdrawing in some cities, started outdrawing the band as far back as the Black Flag days.
No kidding.
Wow.
Well, I think it's perhaps a show that perhaps enjoys a wider demographic where you can take someone to this one and they don't necessarily fear being sweated upon or landed on.
Sure. They may not get beat up in a pit.
In a venue that might be a little bit more equitable to some people. I don't know. I mean, it's a show, and I'll always take the show over not taking a show. But in the last several years, in the last couple of decades, I've been doing these shows since 83, and I started in Los Angeles. I do more and more of them in that these shows travel very easily, in that it's me and a microphone and a road manager, and so there's no great deal of production.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to ask you if this is going to be exclusively politics as you're leading up to the election.
No, oh no, absolutely not. In that it would be extremely boring, and I wouldn't have much to say on any of that. In that, I really think someone's politics isn't necessarily someone else's business. Like, basically, I would never have the temerity or the chutzpah to tell you who to vote for.
Right.
I mean, that's really rude. And I really wouldn't aspire to that level of rudeness. I would beg you to vote, in that democracy needs you. But who you vote for, quite honestly, I have no real great interest in who you're voting for.
I'm writing you in.
That it's just really not, it's not really interesting to me. It's only interesting to me that you vote.
Got it.
Having said that, do you think there is much of a difference between a vote being cast for either of the major political parties in 2012, Henry?
Yes, absolutely. I think the parties are very, very different. And I hear that talking point. It's asked me in interviews and proposed to me in emails all the time. Sometimes it's a statement. There's really no difference between the parties. They do have similarities, of course. They both are, to a certain degree, kind of somewhat owned by lobbyists and corporations.
Right.
One more than the other, in my opinion. But I think the differences are great.
Does it seem to you, or am I just being cynical here, that many politicians in both parties now are more interested in party and being reelected than they are in serving their constituents? In other words, it seems like that's how they spend most of their time, is trying to raise money so that they can stay in Washington.
Yes, I would agree, but I don't think that's very new. In that, I think 100 years ago, that was probably the case. I think in the case of someone in Congress, where they're elected every 2 years, apparently, every morning, everybody worth their weight in salt in Congress is on the phone, you know, dialing for dollars. They're going to, like, three breakfasts a morning,
wow,
always fundraising, and then they go off to work. But in the evenings, it's back to fundraising. It's not the way I'd want to live my life. It seems like that would kill you. But apparently, that's a lot of it, and I think a lot of people do really enjoy that being in Washington, because more and more, one thing is for sure, it makes politicians a lot of money. And politicking, in my opinion, it shouldn't be a money sport. It should be about the people.
This is the voice of Henry Rollins here on the Kevin Abine Show. We're talking about his capitalism tour. That's what he's calling it. 50 state and also Washington, D.C. He's going to cover in 2 months, kicking off September 6th in Honolulu. In California, by the way, he'll be playing Sacramento on the 13th of September. We were speculating what conclusions you're drawing, if any, Henry. I understand as part of your talk each night, you're going to be describing your experiences in other countries around the world. Are you making a comparison to what it's like to live in some of these places to America?
No, I'm just telling you where I've been, what I saw, and how I feel about it. I can allow you to make your own comparisons, but you'll make your best comparisons when you go to any one of these places on your own. In that, I think it's very healthy to draw one's own conclusions.
Do I need to go to North Korea? You've been there. You can tell me that.
Do you need to go?
Correct.
I think you might trip on it. I mean, I think you will come out the other end and go, that was crazy.
All right.
And you might find it worth 5 days of your life. Also, it puts you in a very interesting part of the world for where you could go next. I mean, 2 days after I was in Pyongyang, I was in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, which was incredibly cool. You don't have to, but you might want to put that on the to-do list because life is short. You might as well keep it interesting.
All right.
Henry Rollins lives a crazy life, you guys.
Doesn't he?
Hey, let me throw this one tip out to you. I don't know if you've had a chance to think about this or not, but since you're going to all 50 states in a row, you know if you get that Denny's app and check in from a different Denny's restaurant, you can get a free Grand Slam for life. You know about that, right, Henry?
I have not been in a Denny's since the 80s.
No, that's a great tip, though, Bean.
I used to go to a lot of them. And I haven't been in one of those for quite a long time. Nothing against the institution. It's just that
you have enough money to go somewhere else.
Put my stomach through it.
I'm just saying you're going to be in all 50 states. If you're the first person to sign in from all 50 Denny's around the country, you get free Grand Slams for life. It's a good deal.
Sounds like it's a great way to thicken the arteries, clog the blood, and stop the heart.
Yes, it does.
HenryRollins.com is the website, of course, if you want details on the capitalism tour. It's always great to catch up with you. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
All right, you guys. Take care of yourself.
Dude, you know if you go to all 50 states and you check in, you can get a Grand Slam for life.
That was helpful information to pass along to somebody who might not have heard about it who happens to be going to all 50 states.
Henry Rollins hasn't eaten at a Denny's in 20 years, Bean.
Well, how did I know that?
Not everybody thinks Denny's is a great place to eat out. Like that's
Denny's is the bomb. And by the way, advertisers, I'm available to do Denny's commercials for you, but nobody ever asked.
Ugh.
All right, listen, it's Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We only...
Bean, the interview killer!
We're running so late here, but we got a great topic that I want to get to. I was really interested in a story that Ralph Garman brought up in the Showbiz Beat on Friday because it involves two of my favorite things. One is Chris Butler, who was the drummer and primary songwriter for the band The Waitresses. You guys remember them. They're
sure.
The ones who did I Know What Boys Like. They did Christmas rapping. Great band out of, I think, Akron in the 80s. Very popular. Well, he, it turns out, unbeknownst to him at the time that he bought it, owns serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer's early house where Dahmer killed his first of many victims that he ended up going to jail for. So Chris Butler buys this house, doesn't know until after he's already owned it for a few years. All he knows is he got a screaming deal on it, and then he finds out that Jeffrey Dahmer murdered a guy in the house. So now he's trying to sell it, and I guess he's having a little bit of trouble because, well, for some reason, lots of people don't want to move into a home where a murder has been committed. To which I say, the house didn't kill the people. Somebody in the house killed the people. The house is fine. There's nothing wrong with the house, people. Go ahead and take the deal. It's probably cheaper than it would be if no one had been killed there. Buy the house, live in it, and enjoy it.
You don't watch scary movies, Bean.
The house is evil.
There's always really? Evil left over in the house.
There's evil energy in that house, and it will wreck anybody who lives in it.
I've seen 100,000 movies like that.
Okay, those might not be real.
I'm telling you, enough. They all add up to something.
So
I'm not buying that house.
We started talking about this off the air, and it was interesting to see the various opinions in the office. I think most of you probably said, you know what? I think Ralph said this as succinctly as possible. Plenty of houses I can buy where nobody's been murdered, so why don't I just go that route? I think that's where you were coming from too, right, Kevin?
Sure.
To me, and I think Lisa was with me on this, if we like the house, if the house is a good deal and it suits our needs, we don't care whether somebody's been murdered or not because that's irrelevant. Right, Lisa?
Well, I care a little bit. It depends on how many people were murdered, how violent it was, and how long ago
it was. It's Jeffrey Dahmer. So you can find a hand
at
any time.
I'm not going to live in Jeffrey Dahmer's
house. You look into your washer, dryer, and then pull out a hand. You go, whoa.
That's sweet.
So then Omar steps in, and Omar says, I would pay more for that house.
That's a plus. Plus, I didn't know it was Jeffrey Dahmer's house. That's like a famous murderer's house. That's even better.
So you would pay more than market value for that.
Oh, yeah. I live in the murder house on the block. People are like, oh, dude, that's the murder house. They're talking about my house.
Right.
And it's awesome.
How famous does your house need to be? Do you just want people to fear you?
No, it's just an additional. It's a plus. It doesn't bug me, but it's an additional cool factor.
Okay, this
cool
is what I don't get.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't agree, but I understand why there are some of you who say, no, I don't want to live in that house. I'm with Lisa where I go, it's not that big a deal to me, but I don't get the extra enthusiasm for Mulbar that I'd pay extra. And if I have my choice between five houses, I'll buy the one where people got killed. I don't get that either.
The most people, the most famous is what he wants.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be the best for sure. But
so if you could live in the cool Manson family house, you would love it.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
The OJ house?
Yeah, you know, as long as I have to, you know, like the house as well. I'm not going to base it off of how many people were murdered in the house.
Well, but OJ's house, then it would be
whoever
his wife's apartment or wherever.
Yeah, right.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Would you buy the house?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer's childhood house where he killed his first person?
If they could leave the chalk outlines in the house, that would be awesome, too.
What about blood residue? That'd be good, too?
No, they could clean that off. Yeah. I'm not down with the blood. But you guys also, like, you know, I'm Mr. Goth. I still have a lot of that in me, you know, back in the day. So I like that. I'm very dark. I like that whole
Did you
deal,
say I'm very
you know?
Dork?
Dark.
Oh, dork.
Dork-sided. And dork. Yeah. I'm dork-sided.
Both.
1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you whether you would buy a house where murders were committed or whether it wouldn't bother you at all. Just for details here, Omar, this house is for sale now in 2012. Jeffrey Dahmer lived there and killed his first victim in 1978. So that's a long time. Is that too far back for you to still have any kind of impact?
No, just because it was Jeffrey Dahmer. Because
it's Dahmer.
Right? You
got the Dahmer name on there. Yeah, for sure. I'm giving, you know, little tours on the weekends and charging people.
You're just cashing in. That's all you're doing.
Get this little girl to run around with a knife.
Exactly.
Then in 1982, he moved to Wisconsin, and that's when he went on to famously kill 17 men and boys.
That's unfortunately,
that apartment is I don't believe that's available anymore. I think they burned that one to the ground or something like that. So. All right, Omar is way on the other end of the scale for the rest of us, but we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on this topic next on the Kevin Abine Show. Interesting calls on hold here right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with JoJo. JoJo is weighing in on a story that we were talking about a man who owns the house where Jeffrey Dahmer, serial killer, killed his first victim. He is selling the house right now. Some people not interested in it because of the history of the place. JoJo, you say you would or would not buy this house if you could.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah, I would not. I'm a professional paranormal investigator. I started in Ohio, did that over there for about 10 years, been doing it here in Los Angeles for almost six. There's a large chance of really bad energy. When someone dies violently, unexpectedly, chances are especially...
Bogus! Bogus!
No, I do it professionally. You do what you do professionally.
No,
just barely.
We're just barely.
Look, I don't want to mock your profession, but you bring in the cleaning crew, and then whatever's left of that murder is gone. I mean, you just start over. It's just wood. It's just walls.
Well, no, we're trying to bring people to the light. We're saying enough of your pain because they're reliving their pain. That's what they're doing. They're sitting there reliving that pain.
So what's going to happen to somebody who buys this house, this Jeffrey Dahmer murder house, and then is sitting in the room where the murder was killed? What's the effect going to be on that new owner?
Well, it's not going to be necessarily against. They're not going to be attacked. They're probably just going to be experiencing weird stuff. They could live with it. It's not necessarily bad. It's just how the person feels about this kind of stuff.
I'd probably get a boner.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Billy. Billy is on line 7. I don't know. Somebody needs to check into the crawl space of Omar's house. He's a little bit too gleeful over this. Billy, welcome to the show. What's going on?
What's happening, Kevin and Bean? Good morning.
You buy it or not?
Yeah, I would. We're in a recession. Might as well.
It's all about the cheap price.
Yeah, exactly. Make it easier for my family. You know,
and then
I want to know where it is. But, you know, that's just me, you know what I mean? And my fiancé is a little weirdo, too, so we'd be all interested in it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You're in the background.
Yeah. She's a little weirdo. Yeah.
That's a thumbs up for us.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call. I will tell you, though, that I think that, like, I was in, what state was I in?
That's hard for us to tell.
I want to say it was in Kansas, and I had to drive by the house where the In Cold Blood murders happened. You know, the Truman Capote wrote the famous murders that happened in that small town in Kansas. And I thought, if you own a house like this, that is one downside, is that it does become a little bit of a macabre tourist attraction, and you are going to have a-holes like me driving down the street who want to see it, right?
But that's why listener Josh would buy it. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I'd buy the house, turn it into a museum or a haunted house. Profit.
And then charge people to take a tour.
Oh, yeah, charge people to take a tour. And maybe even get the chalk outlines and like, hey, take your picture in the chalk outline.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. That'd be
awesome. Plan.
Yeah, and then you got little shot glasses on the way out people can buy.
Omar, sounds like you got a business partner.
Absolutely.
Sounds like you guys are set. All right, thank you very much. All right, let's talk to Siobhan. Siobhan is on line six. She was in a similar situation where she had a murder house that she was going to buy. Siobhan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, my husband and I, in the early 80s, we were shopping for a new home in a Long Beach area. And as we were walking through the house, the one thing I noticed that the master bed wasn't there any longer. And I thought, that's really weird. And it was a great price, had a pool house. And I thought, what's the deal with this?
Got to be something wrong. Too good a deal.
Too good of a deal. So my husband checked with his ex-brother-in-law who lived a couple streets away. And he said, oh, yeah, the couple was murdered in their bed. And he was a high school principal. And it was some disgruntled kids that came in and got him.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you buy the house?
Wait, awesome?
No. The opportunity she had to buy the house, I mean.
My husband wanted to buy it, and I said, there was no way.
Why not?
Really? Because you just didn't want to sleep in that room where you knew somebody had been murdered.
Exactly.
Pussy.
Exactly.
What does adding $260 million to the payroll mean to the Los Angeles Dodgers? We'll discuss with our friend Petros Papadakis coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
It's another reason baseball's not a real sport.
How come?
You just trade people up until, like, the World Series. Oh, yeah, you want this guy? We can't win. You want this guy? Yeah, I'll take him. Okay, I'll pay his contract.
It does seem like
play
the
no team.
Deadline.
Play the team you have, whatever, for God's sakes. Imagine in football, if they're doing that just before the playoffs. Hey, you can want this wide receiver? He's really good. Okay, I'll take him. Because we really don't have a chance, so good luck, guys. Insanity. Madness. It's a madhouse! Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. Soft weekend at the box office. Not a lot of people going to the movies, but it was good enough to make Expendables 2 the top movie again for a second week in a row. Made another $13.5 million. The Bourne Legacy came in at number 2. Paranorman, The Campaign, and The Dark Knight Rises were the top 5 films of the weekend. Then The Odd Life of Timothy Green, Premium Rush, the new Joseph Gordon-Levitt bike messenger movie. In its debut, made $6.3 million. That made it number 7. 2016, Obama's America, the anti-Obama documentary, was number 8 at the box office. Hope Springs and Hit and Run, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Anna Faris and Chris Pratt of Parks and Recreation. They welcomed their first little bundle of joy into the world. Us Weekly reporting that their son Jack arrived a little earlier than expected. Is spending some time in the NICU, which I have all too much experience with, and they're getting a lot of warm wishes from fans and family alike, so hope everything works out for the Pratts and little Jack. Meanwhile, to show you that there is no God, Snooki's baby went off with a hitch.
Oh,
yeah, she delivered,
without a hitch?
She delivered her baby boy with no problems whatsoever, yeah. His little name is Lorenzo Dominic Lavalle. Another Guido in the world, says her representative. That's
the
just
state
what
can
we
come
needed.
In and take that baby away, right? Because his mother is Snooki, right?
Can you imagine having Snooki as your mom?
Poor kid just doesn't have a chance.
I think it'd be a miracle if you were alive on your first birthday, right?
Wow.
Kid came out fist pumping, they say.
Yeah.
That's something at least. He's got some heart to him. Neil Armstrong has passed away. Happened on Saturday. The first man on the moon died at the age of 82.
Can't tell you how many tweets I got about Bean making sure he's on suicide watch.
Yeah.
He was my hero. Well, he was a lot of people's hero, but I mean, I really had the utmost respect for Mr. Armstrong. He's a great man.
Because he took a ride? Because they put him in a box with some rockets on it and he took a ride in it?
It was a little bit more than that, Ralph.
Did he build it? Did he build it?
That's a good question.
No.
Did he build the rocket?
No.
He took a ride.
I have the audio. We haven't had a chance to play it yet of Neil Armstrong on the moon, though. You probably heard this a lot over the weekend, but his famous first words from the lunar surface.
I absolutely am standing on the surface of the fucking moon. I'm talking to you from the surface of the fucking moon. Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
A lot of people criticize him as being less than respectful.
He was supposed to say Jesus A. Christ in a chicken basket, but he said H and blew it. Apparently that wasn't what they'd written for him.
Couldn't deliver the line,
yeah. Buzz Aldrin's still alive, but there's always tomorrow. Neil Armstrong, by the way, just had heart surgery a few weeks ago.
Aww.
That's some BS right there. What a waste.
Was there complications from that?
That's what killed him. Yeah. Yeah.
Ended him?
Yeah. Hmm. Surgery killed him. Would have been better off without it. Just keep going, man. And also, the Count has passed away. Jerry Nelson, the voice of Sesame Street's Count Von Count, passed away at the age of 78 years old. He was also the voice and operator for many of the Muppets. Worked with Jim Henson throughout all the Muppet movies, as well as Fraggle Rock and Sesame Street. His work will live on beyond him. And very, very talented guy. Nadia Sulman has no place to take her 1,400 children.
Octomom.
Octomom's house went into foreclosure, and now she's trying to rent a little place in Orange County, California, but was denied. The owners sent a letter claiming they don't want to subject their neighbors to the constant media attention and circus that follows Octomom around, so they are not going to rent to her.
Wow.
Word is, this isn't the first time she's had this problem, so...
She's going to have to move to the middle of nowhere, isn't she? Because
yes, that's the plan. That's what she should do. We don't want to deal with her anymore.
Nope.
No one does. And Stephen Baldwin had some problems over the weekend. According to TMZ.com, he was arrested for driving on a suspended license. He was in Harlem, pulled over after cops witnessed him making an illegal U-turn. Then they noticed his license was suspended. So he's going to have to face the music in court next October. He's the Holy Roller one, Stephen, isn't he? Isn't he?
I don't know which one.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Hard to keep track of the Baldwins.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's him or Billy. I don't know. One of them.
Not Billy, I don't think.
I think he was praying for God. Oh, God. Oh, God. The cops saw me. Oh, God. Don't let him catch me. Oh, God. Oh, God. Why have you forsaken me? They took his license. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alexa Vega of Spy Kids is 24 years old today. Aaron Paul celebrates his 33rd birthday. Sarah Chalk is 36. Tony Kanell of No Doubt celebrates his 42nd birthday. The dog whisperer himself, Cesar Millan, is 43 years old. Cypress Hill percussionist Bobo celebrates his 44th birthday. And actor Paul Rubens, also known as the beloved Pee-wee Herman. I'm 60 years old. La, la, la. That's a lot of birthday candles. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A little bit nervous about bringing Petros back on the air after his very public and embarrassing meltdown over the Bachelorette on Friday. But let's see if he's recovered. Let's see if he's doing okay. P, you all right, buddy?
Still recovering a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
I know you are. I'm sorry we had to put you through that traumatic episode on Friday, but thank you for joining us again today.
It's one thing to wake a guy up. It's another thing to tell him that Matt Leinart is cheating with the Bachelorette on Jeff with one F in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where they were visiting his parents.
No, that's devastating. I understand.
And to have the whole story confirmed by his brother to Us Weekly, I mean, that was just, I mean, it was icing on the cake for a guy like me.
Right, but Pete, we'd like to change topics if you're capable of doing that right now.
I guess.
All right.
P, of course, is the P of the Petros and Money Show, which airs weekday afternoons at AM 570. Dodger Nation, very excited about this new blockbuster trade. Give me some historical perspective here, Mr. Papadakis. Is this the biggest trade in Dodger history?
That's a tough call, because there's been some pretty big ones. The Manny Ramirez was huge when everybody was wearing those stupid wigs until he got jacked for steroids. And don't forget the Mike Piazza trade the other way, negative. But
sure,
this is certainly the biggest move at this time of year that's ever happened. For Boston to give these guys up, you have the large face of Josh Beckett, the pitcher who used to go out with Alyssa Milano and Leanne Tweeden. There's a utility guy in there named Punto, plays second base, and he looked pretty good the last couple of days. And, of course, the big one, especially Paralaraza, the Latino people in the city. And there are some, not many, but some Latino Dodger fans. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Oh, really? What? There are a few of those?
You don't notice those at Dodger Stadium. Interesting that you bring that up.
Yeah, it's just kind of a speckling of Latino fans, yes. But this guy, Adrian Gonzalez, is just, it's an unreal pickup. He's one of the best first basemen in all of baseball. He's a great hitter. He seems like a great guy. He was born and raised in San Diego, Tijuana, and Bonita, California. And he's energized the fan base, obviously. There's a lot of really excited people. I mean, I don't think it's going to become Fernando Mania anytime soon, but the sky's the limit for the guys they have out there. I mean, they have a great-looking lineup baseball-wise. The pitching is still a little wacky, But it should be a great watch down the stretch because the Giants aren't pushovers and the Dodgers are going to be in it till the end.
Isn't there a certain confidence that you get as a fan of a team when you see that your management is going to spend some money, though?
Oh, this is a totally different deal.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, over the last years with Frank McCourt trying to get guys in there like Andrew Jones and different players and wondering if these guys, you know, have a little something left in the tank to give to the Dodgers, this is completely different. I mean, this is even crazier than what the Yankees have done. I mean, we work at the Dodger station, Matt and I, and every week it's like, oh, they just added this guy. Oh, okay, yeah, this guy's coming too. I mean, Hanley Ramirez, for God's sakes, is one of the better players in baseball.
Totally. But you know, it is still a crapshoot. I mean, they're putting a lot of money out, over $250 million in contracts that the Dodgers are assuming for the next few years. And let's face it, we all know Josh Beckett. He may still be a good pitcher. His best days are clearly behind him, though. I mean, he won a World Series in, 2007? He hasn't exactly gotten the Red Sox back to the playoffs much since then.
Well, he's not been great, but he's not the centerpiece of this whole thing.
It's Gonzalez.
And they just took Beckett so they could get Gonzalez, I believe. Here's the deal. Obviously, it's a crapshoot because the Yankees would win every year if it wasn't a crapshoot.
Right.
And they don't. And Derek Jeter, I mean, he still cuts a pretty wide swath of chicks in New York, but that's got to be slowing down.
I doubt it.
But the point is, you never know what's going to happen. But for a Dodger fan, somebody watching who dedicates all that time every year to watching games and rooting for the team and going out there and eating hot dogs, This is unbelievable. I mean, this gives you confidence in the ownership to say that they're gonna. I mean, whatever happens on the field is what's gonna happen on the diamond this year. But you can't blame Ned Coletti or his bosses because they've brought in enough people to have great success.
Isn't chemistry so interesting in sports? And we talk about this all the time with the Lakers, where you have good players that will play well in one city and not in the other. I mean, look at the adjustment that Albert Pujols made going to the Angels, for instance, what a different player he was. There's really no way to tell until you start playing the games how somebody's going to do when you swap them city to city, right?
You can make excuses and say, well, the AL pitching was different than the NL pitching, or this guy's more of a West Coast guy or more of an East Coast guy. Obviously, Gonzalez, much more of a West Coast guy who tired of the act out there in Boston. So it's hard to say, but there's no finite way to put it all together. As far as chemistry goes, though, guys, for the Dodgers, have you guys had Donnie Baseball on, Don Mattingly, yet?
I don't think so, no.
Once a week.
Oh, he's a great guy, the manager of the Dodgers, and he was one of the best players in baseball for a long time when he was a player. I mean, he was a great player. I think he understands pretty well how to deal with players. It seems like the players love playing for him. And right now they have a really good mix. Does that guarantee them the playoffs or the division or the wild card? I don't know, but it'd be pretty disappointing if they didn't make it. Either way, these are monumental blockbuster moves being made week after week after week, it seems, by our local team.
As fans, whether your team gels, you know, that way or not, you're just happy to see the management putting themselves behind like this so that you can put a team on the field that can do it.
No, it's certainly not haggling over the price of parking, is
right.
it? Or bugging people about building a shopping center in Chavez Ravine or running around pushing your wife or your kids on us.
Right.
This is a little bit different. This is real professional baseball ownership, and we're watching real big market baseball unfold in L.A. with the Dodgers, and it's a wonderful, refreshing thing. Doyer, doyer, doyer.
Let me say one more thing before we let you go back to your baby. Petros Papadakis on the phone with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Of course, you should every afternoon tune into the P&M Show on AM 570. And that is a few words, broadcaster to broadcaster, about the news that Vin Scully returns to the Dodgers to call the games in the booth for his 64th season next year. How is that possible, Petros?
Well, it's possible. I'll tell you how it's possible. It's possible because he still captures you completely when you turn on the TV. I mean, he's still got it. He's still, you know, some great announcers, as they get a little older, everybody kind of notices a tick here and there, and it's a natural thing. I mean, this guy's been doing it a long time. But he's still the best. I mean, he was the best in the business. He's still the best in the business. He's everybody in L.A.'s grandfather. He's everybody in L.A.'s friend when he hits that broadcast. And my God, I hope he does it. I hope he does it to where my kid's old enough to where my kid can recognize his voice and say, "Wow, there it is, Vin Scully."
Vin Scully's been calling Dodger games since before any of us or any of our listeners were born.
Right, he was doing it before they moved to Los Angeles when they were in Brooklyn, because he's a New York guy and he went to Fordham. And one of the highlights of my year, aside from the birth of the child and, of course, coming to visit you guys periodically,
right,
was showing Vin a picture of my kid. I mean, it was the craziest thing in the world.
Now, wait a
minute.
Did he ask for it or did you offer it?
Well, he asked.
All right. That's fine.
Okay. You know what? It happened pretty fast.
You offered.
It happened pretty fast. I might have had the BlackBerry out when I walked into the booth.
Look, Vin doesn't have much time left. Don't waste his time with pictures of your kid, Petrus.
Hey, it wasn't like he had anything to do. They were in a commercial break.
All right.
AM 570 KLEC weekday afternoons. Petrus and Money. You are the very best, Pete. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
How about that real sports analysis?
Yeah, no kidding for once, instead of the stupid bachelor.
Put that in your pipe and smoke.
You know what I noticed, Kevin?
What?
We've been talking to LaQuisha for years now, and she never just stops by to say hi or gives us a call to say, "What's up, you guys?" It's always just anger and vitriol when we get her on the phone.
You're misreading her. She loves
us. Really? Because it seems to me like she doesn't love us.
She
only talks
to
us when she has to, which is to review Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Let's see if I'm wrong. Hi, LaQuisha.
Shut up, Bean.
Maybe she hates you.
Oh, maybe that's
you
what
know, someone made you watch season after season of The Jersey Shore and now The Kardashians. How would you feel about them?
Well, I would think that they love me so much to make me an integral part of their highly rated morning radio program. That's what I would think.
Asperger's rears its ugly head again.
Yes, it does.
What's going on with my Kardashian friends?
They are horrible people. And last night's episode finally started doing what that show really should do, which is expose the darkness that lives inside them.
All right.
How Kim Kardashian is a self-absorbed idiot. How Kris Jenner, the mother, is a soulless, hollow human being who's just selling her children and has no love for any of them. And how Rob Kardashian, the only boy child of that family, is just a shattered wreck of a human being on a downward spiral into drug addiction, alcoholism, and depression.
Does sound
accurate. You can only hope.
Kim Kardashian was talking about Kanye last night because Kanye came to her house and went through her closet with his stylist and threw out all her old clothes and brought her new clothes to wear.
Kanye is coming over today with his stylist, and he's giving me a full clothing makeover.
Thank God Kanye is doing something important with his life.
Is that what women want?
Yes, they want their boyfriends to come in like gay best friends and just go through their clothing and pick out what's good and what's not. And he threw everything she had out and said, "Look too ghetto, look too ghetto." The black guy telling the white girl she's too ghetto.
Okay.
But luckily, Kanye was there to give her new clothing.
Kanye's definitely inspired me to want to, like, be a little bit more of an individual. I think my style's just evolving and changing. And I think it should, because that's, you know, what life is about.
Yes. That's what life is about.
Your clothing changes?
Wearing new clothing and throwing out your hundreds of thousands of dollars of clothing that you own, get rid of that and buy another $100,000 worth of new clothes and wear that out, because that's what life is about. Those were her words. She said that life is about.
Yeah.
Changing your wardrobe.
Yeah, she did.
She LaQuisha, said that.
It's not about ending suffering for fellow human beings.
No, don't be ridiculous.
It's not being there for your fellow man. It's not making the world a better place because you're there. But it's about wearing new clothes.
I'm sorry you had to hear that. I'm sorry we all had to hear it. But LaQuisha, isn't it a red flag if you're a woman and your boyfriend comes in and tells you what you can and can't wear? I would be concerned about that.
She loves it. She's dying for a man to come in and tell her what she can wear and not wear, because it's Kanye West and he keeps her in the tabloids.
Yeah, that's true.
He's expanding her horizons with new clothing.
I think Kanye's definitely given me a push to want to see more that's out there in the world. So I think that's, like, a really good thing.
Yeah. He's exposing her to new things in the world by giving her new clothing.
So that's...
Not giving her the great novels of the world to read, or literature, or politics, or taking her to visit war-torn countries and saving people dying from diphtheria.
He is Kanye, after all.
He's exposing her to the world by bringing her new shoes.
I think this one's the breaking point.
I don't think we've lost LaQuisha. What this woman's saying on television, and she can't even realize how bad it is.
This is what life's about, LaQuisha.
So Rob Kardashian, thank God, he's got a job judging the Miss USA pageant in Vegas.
What?
And he goes there to judge the Miss USA pageant in Las Vegas. And he's talking about how he wants to open a men's Dash store, which is the clothing store the Kardashians have. He wants to open a men's Dash store. While he's in Vegas, he's talking about people about doing that. But then he's got to go on the red carpet. And that's always a hard, hard thing for Rob Kardashian to do.
It's really difficult whenever I have to do a red carpet event, and then, like, all the questions get reversed back to my sisters. It just gets frustrating.
Oh, I can imagine Rob Kardashian.
How tough that must be.
Oh, I can't imagine the rigors of having to walk a red carpet into an event that you have no business being at.
Yeah,
where you offer no entertainment value whatsoever. Having reporters still want to ask you questions about anything. I can imagine how hard it is. Well, good thing he's judging the Miss USA pageant with Arsenio Hall and Allie from The Bachelorette. Because they can appreciate what he truly has to offer. Which is, of course, his new sock line. Arsenio?
I'll tell you how you affected my life. I wear different socks now.
Really?
I like socks, too. I just tweeted pictures of, like, crazy socks the other day.
You know that's why they put us together. This is the sock crew.
Yeah, that's the sock crew right there.
Did they say that?
Oh, yeah.
For real?
Yeah, they said it.
On TV?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that means the world to Rob that someone finally appreciates his new sock line.
It feels great to get the love and respect about my sock line from, you know, people who aren't even, you know, family to me. I just met them. And it sucks when, you know, my mom doesn't really back me, and especially, like, you know, one of my sisters.
How often we all sat around and said, why must that underappreciated sock line still just languish in the shadows? Why can't that sock line get what it deserves, the proper respect?
He needs to be hailed as a genius.
Well, back with the family now, Rob's upset because he thinks Kim gets all the attention and the sisters get all the attention and no one's paying attention to him.
Because they're hot and he's an idiot.
And no one's letting him into their business ventures. They keep cutting him out. Like this new Dash Star. They don't want anything to do with a new Dash Star for men. And Rob's upset.
I just feel like I'm going to get cut out and not do anything. I literally have no income.
He has no income.
Well, get a job.
Oh, wait a minute. That would be an idea. I mean, some people, when they don't have any income, they become employed.
It seems like that would work.
But what about the sock line? How can he dedicate all the time that sock line deserves if he's got to go get a job doing something else? Why don't you people think this out? This is what life is about. Sock lines and red carpets and new wardrobes. Well, Rob thinks that Kim is the favorite of Mom, Kris Jenner, the soulless harpy that she is. And I have no idea why a child would believe that any other child in the family is a favorite. Because everyone knows parents love all of their children equally, just in different ways. Why is Rob so deluded to think that Kris Jenner says that Kim is her favorite daughter?
Of course my favorite daughter's down here first. Everyone back here, Kendall, we need you, Rob. Where's Scott? Lamar?
Can we get all the extras in place for the picture of me with my favorite child, Kim?
Of course Kim's first. My favorite.
She said that out loud in front of people.
In front of her other kids.
She said it.
Well, she's a devil.
So Rob asked the family if they'll all go into family counseling because he's so messed up about all this stuff. And they all agree begrudgingly to go to family counseling with Dr. Nikki. And first of all, Kim's sitting there like a stone bitch, like she didn't even make a face. Kris has to be reminded how to express her love to her children when they say, Mom, it hurts our feelings when you say, Kim, you do a good job and you don't say anything to anybody else. And then poor Rob just left there in the dirt. He's having a hard time expressing himself.
First of all, what are you feeling in this moment?
Like they don't understand.
Misunderstood. So. And how does that feel to you?
It's frustrating.
You look sad. Am I misreading you?
I want everybody quiet but Rob right now. Robert.
Is he crying?
Robert, don't leave. Please don't leave, Rob.
Please don't leave. Stay and talk about this. Things don't get better when you walk out.
The only thing they cut out from that was the gunshot you hear at the end of that sequence. As he takes his own life.
Things might get better if you walked out of the Kardashian family.
That is an excellent answer. You leave them, you will get better. I promise you, Rob.
That's just correct.
Find a foster family. Just have someone adopt you. Get a job. Live a life. Meet real people. Stop going on red carpets for the Miss USA pageant, Rob. Get a motorcycle, travel across the land, grow a beard, get a hobo pack, and just put all your things on a stick and a kerchief on your shoulder and ride the rails in the boxcar. Do anything. Just get the hell away from these soulless people. They're killing you, Rob. It seems as if you have some sort of soul inside of you. That's how you know you're not one of them.
LaQuisha, you did such a great job today. We're going to send you a free pair of new socks. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you, fellas.
Who are we listening to?
Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:41.
Ralph has the showbiz beat coming up again in minutes. Right, and then Honey Boo Boo Child.
Yeah! Honey Boo Boo Child.
After the top of the hour, we'll recap the latest episode. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Our friend Dax Holt joins us on the phone. We talk to someone from the TMZ newsroom every Monday. Hi, Dax. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
By the way, I have photos of Honey Boo Boo, by the way. I just put up on the website.
Is that right? Nice.
That show is more popular every week. It's turned into a smash, Dax.
Can I just tell you, I have photos. The older sister just gave birth to the child, right?
Okay. Oh, Chickadee had her baby?
Yes. Well, Pumpkin, the other sister, dips the pacifier in 7-Up and then gives it to the baby.
All right.
Like 1 month old. I'm like, yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's our family.
Next, it's vodka.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see the story. That's awesome. Speaking of great stories that have been blowing up on TMZ, you've got Vince Neil, the lead singer of Motley Crue, who, by the way, has gained about 100 pounds since the last time I saw him.
Yeah, he's fat Vince Neil now.
And of course, they're on this big worldwide tour with Kiss right now, selling a lot of tickets, still very popular out there on the road. But what happened with him and this poor valet?
Oh, we got the greatest video, you guys. We put it up. He was at Planet Hollywood last weekend in Vegas, and he comes out, apparently doesn't have a ticket to pick up his Rolls Royce from valet.
Right.
And so they don't give it back to him. He starts banging on the window at the valet, and he starts screaming, "Give me my effing car!
I have the audio.
Give me my effing car!" Oh yeah,
I have the audio from the video that you put up, and this is him trying to get. And when you hear banging, he's pounding on the window of the valet.
Give me my f-ing car! Give me my f-ing car!
What is wrong with you?
I guess if you have a Rolls Royce, you're willing to bang on windows to get it back.
That's crazy.
But in the valet's defense, it's difficult to find the car in a huge parking lot without a ticket, right?
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, I could walk up and say, okay, that Rolls Royce is mine. Give it to me. But if I don't have a ticket to prove it, why would they give it to me? I mean, it is Vince Neil, but nevertheless.
Nevertheless, you'd think they would hand him a ticket like they do everyone else, and he could put it in his pocket like everyone else does.
Well, he's claiming that they didn't even give him a ticket.
Sure, that's how they work.
That's how all valets work. Really nice Rolls Royce.
Dumbass.
Oh,
that's
man.
Fantastic.
So they called the cops, but he got it back.
Is there nothing that isn't filmed anymore? I feel like TMZ has a camera on all of us at all times. You have become Big Brother, Dax.
This looked like a cell phone video to me, though.
Yeah, no. I think this one was a submitted video.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We've got a couple of judges on reality shows that we want to talk to about. First of all, a very curious story you published a couple of days ago about Britney Spears, who by all accounts is now happy, healthy, and strong, seems to be fully capable of taking care of herself, yet you gave an interesting reason why there's still a conservatorship. What's this all about?
Yeah, the conservatorship's been going on for 4.5 years, which just seems strange. You know, normally they want to get their
her dad took over all of her finances?
Exactly. Basically her life.
Her life, legally.
Yeah.
Okay.
He makes all the decisions along with the court. And so that's been going on for 4.5 years, which, you know, after you get everything situated, you're normally allowed to kind of go back on your own. Well, it's still going strong, and they don't have any sense of ending it anytime soon. Well, apparently, her lawyers ran into court the other day to have this judge seal certain records, saying that they were highly sensitive, that they would cause her crazy damage to her reputation, and it says that she has a medical issue, but doesn't really say what the medical issue is. It just says it prevents her from making consistently sound decisions, and that this disorder affects her personality and her state of mind.
So but, it's like there's like some kind of bipolar thing going on, or some kind of mental illness going on, where she literally will never be able to take control of her own life?
But they don't say what it is. They just say a medical issue, and they want these documents sealed.
Huh.
And I gotta say, you know, this conservatorship works for her. Why end it if it works amazing for her?
I agree. It's just she's got to be miserable.
Yeah.
No, she's happy. Are you kidding me?
She, I don't know. How old is she? 28?
She's 20. Yeah, 20. No, she's got to be 30, I think.
30?
I think so.
At that point, don't you want to not go to daddy and ask for money?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think Britney's ever been one of those people that wants to balance her checkbook either.
Well, it could be.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you guys have any theories, or does it not really matter what it is?
I'm thinking you probably saw signs of it a couple years ago when she was shaving her head and doing all the crazy stuff.
Yeah, that seemed bad.
All right, last question before we say goodbye to our friend Dax Holt again from TMZ.com. TMZ.com is the website, and of course, check your local listings for television shows. Does it look like this is confirmed now that it's going to be Mariah Carey, Nicki Minaj, and Keith Urban? Those are our American Idol judges, and if so, what do you think about that lineup?
I think it's a good lineup. I'm excited to watch, you know, Nicki, just because she's crazy all the time.
Yes.
You know, I think she'll be out there and everyone will be not being able to stop staring at her. Mariah could put some interesting spins on stuff. But
if she comes in full crazy, Mariah could be good.
I kind of would have rather seen Katy Perry, though.
Well, of course. Who wouldn't?
I mean, reported that she was offered $20 million to do a season of American Idol, which probably, I mean, that's a lot of money for anybody, but Katy Perry can easily make that on her own, right?
Well, she can make that quick style, just doing a tour, you know, she'll make $20 million. But they were going after her for a long time, for weeks and weeks, just saying, you know, we'll give you 20. They started off at $18 million, which was what they gave Mariah.
She was a guest judge, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm, and she did really well.
Yeah.
She's got a great personality. She's hot. Why not have her as a judge?
Of course.
And so they bumped it up to 20, still tried to get her on the show, and she keeps turning it down. She goes, nope, I don't want to do it. I don't need the money, and I don't need my career to suffer. I'm in a good place right now. I'm not going to be on your
show. That's unbelievable.
I kind of think it's hotter that she doesn't want to.
I do too.
And
it is interesting that these shows used to be successful, and there used to be so many of them because they were so inexpensive to put on television. Now they're becoming some of the most expensive shows that are being made because of these judges' salaries.
The fact that you can spend $18 million on Mariah, whatever for Nicki and Keith Urban, I mean, that's a lot of money. And Seacrest is probably making crazy cash. So it's like you're adding up all these paychecks. How do they afford that?
Well, they won't be able to much longer.
You're right. Yeah, eventually they're going to get to the, you know, the point of diminishing returns. As always, great job, Dax. Have fun in the newsroom, man. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Fresh from conquering Canada over the weekend with his friend Kevin Smith. You guys were in Ottawa, I guess, on Saturday night. Ralph, sounds like a great time.
We were, eh?
Now you join us for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday, Kevin and Bean. I was happy to hear that you ran into some Kevin and Bean podcast listeners up there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice. One feeds the other. You know, a lot of people who listen to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show have checked out Hollywood Babylon, the podcast I do with Kevin Smith, and vice versa. A lot of people around the world who listen to the Hollywood Babylon, who were introduced to me through Kevin Smith, have now also started listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. So,
and they go, how come that funny guy isn't on more?
They do. They say, really? One Showbiz Beat? A podcast?
Very disappointed, I'm sure.
While we're talking about showbiz news, this won't come as a surprise to you, but NBC has a new comedy premiering this fall called The New Normal, which is about a gay couple adopting a baby with a surrogate mother who is going to provide the baby for them.
Okay.
The Mormon Church-owned station in Salt Lake City, Utah, KSV-TV, has announced they will not air the NBC comedy The New Normal.
Isn't there about one show every season that they decide not to air, Ralph?
It was a Saturday Night Live episode before that. Also, the Playboy Club, they said they would not air that. In this case, it is The New Normal because it features a gay couple adopting a baby.
It ain't natural!
The Mormon church-owned affiliate doesn't say exactly what it finds offensive about the show, but they've just sort of nibbled around the edges and gave us the following statement. From time to time, we may struggle with content that crosses the line in one area or another. The dialogue may be excessively rude and crude, or the scenes may be too explicit, or the characterizations might seem offensive. They won't say exactly what it is about this sitcom that they have a problem with, or they've even seen this sitcom, quite frankly.
Probably not.
But too offensive to be aired in Salt Lake City, so maybe another station will pick it up.
But let me ask you this. I assume Modern Family is being aired by the ABC affiliate in Salt Lake, and Utah seems to have survived, right?
I don't know. I haven't checked Utah lately. I don't know if they've been shaken to the foundation over the fact that Cam and his boyfriend, husband, or have a baby or not, so I'm not sure.
I mean, isn't it possible that the people of Salt Lake are smart enough to make their own decisions about what's right for their life?
No.
And not... Oh, okay.
Don't be silly, Bean.
You ever been to Salt Lake?
Yeah, I have.
That's not how things are run.
That's not how religion works either, Bean. It's not about making up your own mind.
Okay.
It's about following the pack. Whatever
God
made
Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's right, Adam and Steve.
Good point, old lady.
I think I'm just jet-lagged, but I'm just crankier than usual today. Dubs is exhausted by all the right-wing religious zealots telling people what to do and what
it's
not to
tiresome.
Do. It is. It's exhausting. Did you see Newsroom last night?
I haven't watched it yet.
Sweet Jesus.
It was great.
It was the season finale. And Jeff Daniels had Will McAvoy, the newscaster on that show, did a side-by-side comparison. He does a speech about the Tea Party. And it's just a little scary how many things they have in common. But he says, let's just call them what they really are, which is the American Taliban. That's very funny. I'm telling you. No one went to the movies this weekend. I don't know what was up, but people stayed away in droves. The Expendables 2 was number one at the box office this weekend. It only made $13.5 million. That was the most viewed movie this weekend. $13.5
million. School started and
I guess that could be
that
it. And all the big blockbusters have already been out and people have seen everything. The Bourne Legacy was number two at the box office. Paranorman was number three. Then The Campaign and The Dark Knight Rises was number five. The Odd Life of Timothy Green was number six. Premium Rush, the Jogolev new movie with features him as a bike messenger. $6.3 million. Jogolev, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody calls him.
Yeah.
Made $6.3 million, made it number seven. 2016, Obama's America, the anti-Obama documentary in its debut, did very well considering the number of screens it was on, $6.2 million. Hope Springs and Hit and Run, running out your top ten at the box office.
Is it possible for someone to put me into a coma until after the election?
It's just getting started, man. We're just starting to ramp up.
Just saying.
Ralph, we learned something interesting Friday about your boy Kevin that I think you're going to enjoy very much.
This Kevin right here?
Yes,
okay.
Our Kevin.
Okay.
If Kevin is busy and doesn't have the chance to go to see a movie that opens over the weekend,
yeah, right.
He can't go back and see it the following weekend. It's gone. That weekend is lost. He won't see a movie. He only goes to see movies that it's too old.
On.
He only goes to see movies that open this weekend.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'm not lying to you. I'm completely serious about this.
You can only see movies the opening weekend?
Well, usually the next weekend there's something new out that I want to see, so then it takes second
place. Why don't you just push
place.
That one? Push that one a week back, too,
but
and then go see the one you haven't seen.
The next week there's like two he wants to see. You can see how this would snowball.
Can't really do that.
No, I can't.
Look, I respect that Kevin has a system. I'm a guy who believes in systems, but this one struck me as a little odd.
I'm just saying.
Apparently, his definition of old has changed.
To a week.
To a week.
Because, like, this weekend, Kevin's like, I don't know what to go see. I'm like, well, you never saw Bourne last week, and you were dying to go see the Bourne, right? And he's like, well, I can't go see it because it opened last weekend. And I'm like, what?
Because Possession or whatever opened this weekend, right?
You have to see the newest possible movie the weekend it's out, Ralph. You can't
Possession opens this
back
weekend,
up a week.
Oh, well, then whatever. Yeah. There was one scary one that opened this past weekend. But then I was sick this past
week. The apparition,
so now the apparition is gone.
Right.
Now I need to see whatever is coming out next
week. Just
weekend.
Go see the apparition instead. And then the following week you can catch on whatever you missed that week.
You'd think that would work.
It does work. That's why everyone else in the world goes to see the movies. That's the way
Kevin
it works for everyone.
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
I don't know. It's just weird.
Is that classic or what?
It's just odd.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse! I am Charlton Heston on the Planet of the Apes. You're all crazy.
Let's just move on.
I would say the same thing to you about movie going.
I really wanted to see Bourne, too.
I need to go lay down.
Look. I know Kevin hates old stuff, and we make fun of him. He won't watch anything black and white or something that was recorded in the 60s. I get all that. But when a movie that's 7 days old is too old for Kevin to go see, I feel like he's taking it too seriously.
Worst case scenario, you get a couple movies behind. It gives you stuff to watch on the weekends where nothing interesting comes
out. I don't have that kind of time. I got a lot of soccer to watch.
I am getting such a headache.
Are you sorry you came back?
I am. Canada was so nice. People there were sane and polite.
Being mean?
Kind and mentally stable.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
He is. He is that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alexa Vega from Spy Kids is 24 years old today. Aaron Paul.
Oh, Breaking Bad, so good. Say my name.
Kevin says Breaking Bad is good.
Say my name.
Sarah Chalk is 36 years old today. Tony Kanal of No Doubt fame celebrates his 42nd birthday. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, turns 43. Bobo of Cypress Hill is 44. And actor Paul Rubens, better known as Pee Wee Herman, celebrates his 60th birthday today. Hard to believe. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Honey Boo Boo Child is America's new sweetheart. She, of course, has got her own spinoff show. She and her family living in a tiny town in Georgia. She became famous on the Toddlers and Tiara show. She's one of these little pageant girls in a crazy family. She's, I think she's six now.
Six.
Her mom, June, is a piece of work. She's 32 years old. Her man is Sugar Bear. He's 40. Chickadee is Honey Boo's older sister. She's in her third trimester of pregnancy. She's 17. Chub, the next sister, is 15. And then Pumpkin, of course, rounds out the family, and she's 12. And then they got Glitzy the pig. So there's a lot going on in the tiny little Honey Boo Boo Child house. And they have a very, very big day planned ahead in this episode that we're spotlighting right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
There's a lot of exciting things to do this week. And the salon was running a weekly special that I couldn't pass up, so I decided to treat the girls with something nice.
Come on, girls. Let's go get our spas.
Me and Alana's going to do, like, facials for her to be able to get her skin soft with, like, the pageant. I'm doing it to kind of look better, to go on my date with Sugar Bear.
Y'all will just follow me.
Me and Sugar Bear ain't married, but we've been together 8 years now. We'll never get to go out by ourselves. Never. And so I decided I'd put a little paint on this old barn and look good tonight.
So she's going to put a little paint on the barn and look real good tonight for her date with her man.
Wow, you can't understand a word she's saying.
Yeah, this whole show is subtitled. And I mean, literally, the whole show is subtitled. They are speaking English, folks. I know it's hard to believe. Now, here's Mama's big night with her man, and I have always wondered what the relationship was between this poor sucker that lives with all these ladies, Sugar Bear, who's 40, by the way, looks 65.
Of course. What a nightmare.
And I was trying to figure out what's his relation with these people? How did he get involved in this family? What's the story? And finally, on this episode of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, we get a little bit of explanation as to what's going on.
Sugar Bear is my baby's daddy. That's Alana's dad. And we've been shacking up mates for like 8 years now. Sugar Bear is not the other girl's dad. They have other dads, but they're not involved in the picture.
By the way, please note that the other girls all have other dads. It's not like she was married before and there was one father for the other three kids. I think they probably all have different dads. From what I know about June.
Oh, my God.
And that means
How does she get that many men?
I don't know. And Sugar Bear, that means, joined this family with this woman and three other kids. Oh. She was able to get a man, right?
What an idiot.
Sugar Bear's asked me to marry him a few times. That M-word scares me. My flesh crawl.
She's 303 pounds and has four kids, and she's got a nice guy with a job who's trying to marry her, and she's running from that.
He should be so grateful.
What is wrong with him?
What is wrong with him?
We have attractive professional women that don't smell bad who have jobs and cars right now who can't get a date, and they're listening to this going, what's happening? So here they are. Here's more. This is Honey Boo Boo and Sugar talking about June and talking about the date that night.
I know Mama and Sugar love each other so much. I don't need no piece of paper to tell me that.
Well, I'm glad that Honey Boo Boo has already made a stance on marriage, that she doesn't need a piece of paper. If Mommy doesn't, she doesn't need one either.
She's really.
When I met June, it was love at first sight. I know she loves me and she does a lot for me. We've been happy ever since. Was it love at first sight? No.
Yeah.
Was it bad at first sight? Maybe. You got to try the milk out before you buy the
candy. Mama! Imagine how embarrassed her kids are all the time by the things that she says, by the way.
God. I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't birth control at first sight.
No, it certainly was. It was bed at first sight, says Jude. Well, they go to a fancy place. They've been together 8 years, as you heard. They go to the cafeteria, which may be the nicest place in town. I don't know what city they live or town they live in, but apparently it's only 700 people. So I don't know that they have a lot of fine dining options very close by the house. So they go to the cafeteria, and imagine June's surprise when Sugar Bear brings in a gift. Actually has picked something out and brought it in for her anniversary. That's very exciting.
I got June some gifts for our anniversary. When Sugar came in the door, it was like, what the hell? Because he was like struggling to bring it in.
All right, she's opening this package. It's a giant statue, you guys. No kidding, of a deer.
He had bought this crazy deer that weighed probably 50 pounds. That's an unusual deer because I'm not into statues and stuff.
That's our June, by the way. She gets an anniversary gift. She's like, that's unusual because I'm not really into statues.
That is, well, she should be more gracious. That is a strange gift. Like, if you don't know she's into statues, why right. would you get that?
It's a giant statue of a deer, okay? And I was very confused until Sugar Bear explained why he chose that.
We got a connection with deer because we love to get roadkill and we like to clean it. Grind it up, process it, put it in the freezer, and then on the weekends we grill out and have a good time.
Well, when you explain it like that, of course it makes sense. That's a fantastic gift, Sugar Bear.
They eat roadkill.
They drive around and they find an animal in the road and they scrape it up, Kevin, and then they take it home, clean it up,
God,
put it in the fridge.
There's no
they
depths.
Grind it up and they have a good time on the weekend.
And they have a good old time. So that's a very thoughtful gift, right?
Who's hungry?
A couple more quick clips as once again they try to impress one another. Sugar Bear, he stepped up, brought this great gift to the cafeteria, right? Well, June is also doing something to impress her man, and that is she's decided to eat with a fork during this meal.
And that's a gift?
I'm not kidding.
When June is eating, she's normally got it in her fingers. Well, I think June used a fork this time to try and be a little bit more romantic.
Well, she's being all ladylike, you know, because she's eating with a fork instead of chicken with her fingers.
It didn't work.
I guess, you know, I missed my mouth a couple times, but that's because, you know, it was so, like, juicy and so good, I guess. I was saving some for later.
You know what happens with the people? They drop all the food and it goes all in the folds of their clothes and stuff like that. The joke is always, I'm saving it for later. That's what she does.
Don't sound sexy.
And one more clip. Here's, again, anniversary dinner. I think that Sugar Bear is getting a little hot, you know, for June as they sit there having their meal. He's trying to get a kiss off, and let's see how that goes.
Me and June fed each other dessert. I was trying to be romantic with it.
Come on. Oh, come on.
He had dip on your mouth.
I don't.
Well, he had dip all over his mouth because he didn't take his chew out while he was having dinner.
Shut up.
And therefore, June wasn't all that crazy about kissing him. But he did still hold out hope at the end of the episode that he was going to get a little, in his words, something later that night. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's the happy couple.
Wow.
There's the Here Comes Honey Boo Boo TLC Wednesday nights. Please. Time for our last look at the showbiz beat for a Monday Kevin and Bean show. Here comes Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a little more chap-ass than usual today.
Why?
Because then just people are ticking me off.
All right.
Who? For starters, bunch of emails come in saying, Neil Armstrong was an American hero. You saying that he just took a ride in a spaceship is disrespectful, and you should have some respect for the man who did something that no one else ever did.
I like your voice. To which I say, listen, fantabulous douchebags. It's just a dumb little joke. It's just a dumb little joke. It in no way impacts the legacy, the remarkable achievements and life of Neil Armstrong. It makes zero impact.
Nothing we do here makes
doesn't detract
impact
from his
of any
achievements
kind in any
at
world.
All. Doesn't lessen what he leaves behind. Doesn't lessen who the man was. Of course, he was an American hero. We all get that. It's okay. Carry on.
But it's sad that one week he gets stripped of all of his Tour de France medals, and the next week he dies.
Don't!
I mean, that is a horrible way to go.
That's a completely different person.
See, now you're going to get emails. You can't tell the difference between Neil Armstrong and Lance Armstrong. You should die.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do take
people
things
take
seriously,
seriously,
and they shouldn't really if they're listening to our show.
No,
they should know
just,
that by
it's
now.
It's just goofy. It's
We're
just,
not taking it seriously.
Just goofiness, people. Come on now. Can't we all just get along?
Can't be mad at that.
No.
That's true. That's science.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office because it is Monday. The Expendables 2, number one at the box office with just $13.5 million. Not a big weekend at the box office. Bourne Legacy came in at number two. Paranorman, The Campaign, The Dark Knight Rises. Those are your top five. The Odd Life of Timothy Green. I was thinking as I watched the trailer for that, I don't know if there's another movie I want to see less.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either, and I'm not interested. I don't want to, I'm not curious. I don't want to say, oh, why does that kid have leaves on his ankles? I don't care. I just don't. I'm just not. I'm just
planted
don't.
Something in the backyard and it grew into a kid. Like
a
kid
grew,
like a six-year-old comes out of the ground.
Exactly.
Like
I've got a vague idea of the premise of the film. It's just nothing about that appeals to me.
And you love Jennifer Garner.
I do love Jennifer Garner. I wish she would just put on a wig and shoot somebody again. That's what I want her to do.
She
That's
did that
what
well.
She did best. A bustier, a pink wig, and some sort of semi-automatic handgun. That's what I need from Jennifer Garner. You know, she said in a recent interview that if J.J. Abrams would get back on board, she would absolutely revisit that character.
That'd be a great movie.
And she thinks everybody would. That everybody involved with that project had so much fun doing it. They would all like to get back together. If only if J.J., of course, was at the helm. But if you wanted to do a feature, an Alias feature or something, she would be on board.
That'd be great.
How about a little of that, J.J. Abrams? A little less Alcatraz, a little more Alias. That's all I'm saying. Premium Rush was 7th at the box office. Then 2016, Obama's America, the documentary. Documentary? $6.2 million. Hope Springs and Hit and Run. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. This 2016, this a remarkable hit.
It is. For documentary, absolutely.
This is the anti-Obama one?
This is the anti-Obama documentary and made at $6.2 million this weekend. Given its number of screens it was on, it was the most profitable film of the weekend.
But I think, as you pointed out earlier, I mean, this is like those church movies that they advertise up the yin-yang to go out and support first weekend. I think they had some sort of a grassroots campaign to get seats in the butts to make sure it showed
in
well.
In fact, there have been churches and conservative groups buying out entire theaters with organizational money and then getting buses and busing people to the theaters to see it.
Did they get seats in the butts? Did they accomplish getting seats in the butts?
No, sounds a little painful to me, but whatever it takes, man.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Whatever it takes.
Is there nothing this guy can't do? First of all, he's born in Kenya and he becomes president,
right,
which is already like a huge undertaking. Now he's a big-time movie star at the box office.
He's a socialist, Marxist, communist Muslim.
Yep.
And yet he's still the
still
leader of the free
star.
World. So,
movie
come
star,
on.
Best-selling author.
Give
he does
him
it
some
all.
Credit,
absolutely.
God's sakes.
He's and busy. He hates America and our military.
Right. He's busy taking away our guns and
right.
Ruining health care and the economy. He's busy, obviously, and yet he still has time to star in America's biggest film.
It's astonishing.
He's got a lot going on. Congratulations to Anna Faris and Chris Pratt, two of my favorite people. They just welcomed their first little bundle of joy into the world. His name is Jack. He arrived a little bit earlier than expected, so he's spending some time in the NICU. But we certainly hope and give our warm and best wishes that everything works out good for both the family and for Jack. Snooki, meanwhile, had her baby over the weekend as well.
Oh, that's the devil child right there.
She had a baby boy who was the product of some sort of genetic experiment, I guess. Some sort of strange lab work going on there. She and her boyfriend Gianni created this creature, and we wish them the best, too.
Can we please, Ralph, and ordinarily I don't pitch bits on the air, can we please talk to Gianni tomorrow? I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Poor bastard. He's in for life now. He's locked in.
Yeah. Oh.
Can never get away. Even if he wants to, he's going to have to deal with her on some level. Heard you guys just talking to Justin Bieber a few moments ago. His girlfriend, Selena Gomez, is apparently unhappy with the nature of their relationship now.
Because he's a douchebag.
Well, apparently that's the problem.
I mean, come on.
Friends are reporting, and you know what these reports are worth, but he has changed, and this isn't the guy, the sweet little Canadian kid that she fell in love with.
He's a douche.
According to people close to the couple, he has become very full of himself. He's using vulgar and crude language. He's berating his own staff. He is acting out in public. This is not the guy that she thought she knew.
It's all swaggy, Ralph.
He's being rude to fans. It's not the Bieber she's come to know and love, and yet she feels she's in between a rock and a hard place because apparently she has confided in him, as one would with a boyfriend, with lots of secrets about her family and about herself, things she would never want made public. And she's concerned if they break up in the relationship, will he feel he's got freedom to talk about that stuff?
He seems like a tool.
I would agree. He does seem like a tool. American Idol looks like they're finally closing their deals for the next set of judges that will be appearing on that television program.
Who am I not going to watch this year?
Well, you know you're not going to watch Mariah Carey. She's already locked in.
Oh, she's crazy, though. I do
for
like
her
crazy.
$18 million, which they offered to Katy Perry to have her join, and she said no. And then they said, all right, we'll make it 20. And she said, no, don't need your money, don't have time. Got a career, got things going on.
Yeah. Look, say what you will about Mariah Carey, and I don't know how she's going to be as a judge. She doesn't seem that interesting to me, personally.
No.
She's easily the biggest, I think she's the biggest star of anyone they've had. I mean, Steven Tyler, of course, had a track record, but I mean, she has sold millions and millions and millions and millions of records.
I think
written
J-Lo
almost
was
all
as
of her
big
old
a star.
Songs.
Maybe not as successful a performer, but certainly as big a star. In terms
I think Maria is way
more
bigger.
More movies.
I'm talking about in terms of her musical success.
I'm talking about in terms of stardom, in terms of people who appear in the tabloids and in movies and are best known by the American public. I think J-Lo crosses over a lot of arenas of people who would know her better.
I'm just worried that American Idol now is going to be one contestant after another trying to sing like Mariah.
Look, I know J-Lo didn't
it's what
do
it's been.
Didn't have a cinematic masterpiece like Glitter. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying I think she was up there. Anyway, Nicki Minaj and Keith Urban apparently are also close to finalizing deals to appear on that show. Nicki Minaj, no word on what she's getting, but Keith Urban apparently has a red Solo cup full of moonshine.
That's right?
They're just giving him and just pushing him out there. And there are problems with Angelina Jolie's proposed Cleopatra film. This had been much ballyhooed in the sense that it was going to be a giant blockbuster historical epic starring Angelina Jolie as the former queen of Egypt. Now they're having a problem finding a director. The director who was going to do it just bailed. James Cameron has bailed famously. A lot of directors have come and go. This film has been in the works for years, and they just can't find somebody who wants to direct Angelina Jolie as Cleopatra. All right, I'll do it.
Are they Jeez. Asking you?
Well, yeah, obviously. Why else would they plant the story if they weren't trying to catch my attention, Kevin?
I see.
I've never directed before, but I'll do it. I got to clear my schedule now. Now I have to go direct a movie.
Maybe she'll do it herself.
She certainly could.
Yeah, she's a director.
I'm not saying it would be good, but she could do it. And the folks in Utah, looks like they're not going to be able to see the new NBC comedy, The New Normal. The NBC affiliate there in Salt Lake City is owned by the Mormons. And they have decided they do not want to air a comedy which features a gay couple trying to adopt a baby, because then everyone in Utah will become gay.
That's how it works.
That's
Is that their
works.
Statement?
Not really, but I can't imagine why else they'd be worried about showing a comedy about a gay couple adopting a baby. Unless they were worried it was going to take root in some way. They won't even tell us what they find offensive about the show. A very vague statement was released by the parent company that owns that station. From time to time, we may struggle with content that crosses the line in one area or another. The dialogue may be excessively rude and crude, or scenes may be too explicit, or the characterizations might seem offensive. Meanwhile, one of the stars of the show, Ellen Barkin, who plays the homophobic mother of the surrogate mother for the gay couple's child, she tweeted, "Who do they find offensive, my Christian conservative character, the gay couple, or the unfertilized egg?" So, no answer. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
I don't think they'll say.
It's the damn egg. We are anti-egg. That's what they should say. Today's celebrity birthdays: Alexa Vega from Spy Kids is 24 years old today. Aaron Paul, he's 33. Sarah Chalk, she's 36 years old. Tony Kanal of No Doubt fame is 42. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer himself, is 43 years old. Dog's going, Dogs everywhere now. Listen to the radio.
You want me to sit? Am I supposed to stand?
Am I eating?
I don't know. Why do they keep doing it? I'm behaving.
Did I mention Tony Kanal, No Doubt?
Yes.
He's 42 years old. Cypress Hills Bobo is 44. And Pee Wee Herman celebrates his 60th birthday. Paul Rubens, the actor. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow we're going to take a look at why this song has taken over the world.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this video for this. We put it in the internet round.
Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
It's a bizarre video. It's not in English, and yet somehow it's taken over the world.
Now it's on the radio.
Makes me want to sing along, but I sure don't know how to.
Oh, those lyrics aren't anywhere.
We also are going to talk about Madden NFL 13. We're going to talk about to somebody who thinks the TLC network is ruining America.
Well, they're right,
How
whoever that person is.
Dare you? That is
That's
the spice
be a quick
of
conversation.
Life.
They're going to say that. We're going to agree, and then we'll move on.
And funny man Joe Rogan.
Jody Rogan's coming up.
Joe Rogan.
He's good.
Talking about the cancellation
should have
of
put seats in the butts.
UFC 151 and John Bones Jones and that whole thing. We'll talk to him tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.